You are listening to the Zen Nova Scotia podcast with talks by Cone France. These talks are made possible in part by generous donations from our listeners. To find out how to support and take part in our community, visit zennovascotia.com.
Tonight I wanted to talk about the first grave precept. Do not kill. I've talked about it before, and I'll talk about it again. We could just do this on a loop. But I don't want to keep saying the same thing. I've been thinking about it the last few days, about what to say. And I keep coming back to the precepts in general and what it might mean for someone to receive the precepts, what it might mean for someone to take up the precepts, and the idea they might have in their mind about what that step means. That there's a before and there's an after. You know, that there's something very clean in this transition. For those of you who decide that you want to do this, right, when you show up on the day, you'll probably dress kind of nice. I hope you do. You know, and maybe you'll take a shower. And you'll show up as someone who is kind of shiny and new. And that's a beautiful attitude to take. But I think what I want to start with, the ground that I want to lay, is to say that's a delusion. We can't talk about do not kill without acknowledging that we all have blood on our hands. We're filthy with it. We're filthy with the muck of the world. At the beginning of the ceremony, there are two things that happen silently. One is that the room is purified with water. And the other is that we purify ourselves with smoke. When you're purifying yourself with smoke, you should really question what it is to be purified. It's not a washing away. You're actually soaking something into your body. You're soaking up a smell. Right? You put your body and you put your hands over the incense, and it permeates your skin and it permeates your clothes. Purification in that context is not about being untouched. It's the opposite. It's a letting down of the defenses so that everything enters this sacred space. So that you carry all of it. You carry everything to the altar. Everything that you hold. And what you hold is a lot. Anyone who takes up the precept of do not kill will start to do a certain kind of math. Right? Now, we've talked about this. You may want to practice this literally, but then you find that you can't, that you have to make choices. So you make choices. And the choices that you make feel reasonable. You say, well, I can stop buying this product that I know causes harm. Or I can stop eating this. Or I can stop doing this. that's a step I can take. But there are steps that I can't take. And I have to kind of give myself a break about the steps that I can't take. Right? I'm doing my best. And if we're not careful, we take that idea of I'm doing my best and we start to imagine ourselves in a way that's kind of clean. Right? I took the step. I agreed to something. Something changed. And those choices are important. That conversation with yourself is important. That stepping forward is important. But that is not at the heart of the practice of vow. That's not at the heart of what it is to take up the precepts. Underneath all of that, underneath the decisions and the rationalizations, the tweaks, is a clear seeing that you have to hold all of it. That part of being alive on this earth comes at a cost to others. And that when a life is finished, it's finished. And so if you're involved in that, directly or indirectly, you carry a weight. That you cannot put down. There's no ceremony that can allow you to put it down. There's no ceremony that gives you a reset button. So that now all of that is behind you and everything else is fresh and clean. We say Dharma gates are infinite. I vow to enter them. And it sounds very adventurous. Like, I'm going to look through every door. I'm going to open every little flap on the Advent calendar and I'm going to see everything that's there. Right? And there can be an element of courage, but there also has to be an understanding that every time you walk through a door, you do so at the risk to someone else. Because every time you move, the world moves. And you can't be still. You can't not affect things. You can't not cause harm. You try. None of this is about not trying. You try and you try and you try, but you do it with open eyes. You do it without any hope of winning, without any hope of getting a gold star, without any hope that somehow you emerge at the other end a little bit more pure than someone else. In the past, when we've talked about the precepts, I've talked about them in terms of pushing and pulling. These are our two things that we do. We push and we pull. They're our instincts. It's, if I push you, you'll push back. Right? You won't even think about it. If I pull on you, you'll pull back. There's nothing more natural for us. And around all of these precepts, there's a kind of grasping. Yes, I'm taking up this precept because I want to serve, because I want to move in the world in a way that is compassionate and skillful, right? But there's a bonus, right? Which is that I am now the kind of person who has taken up the practice of trying to move compassionately and skillfully in the world. There's a little bit of a feeling, I want to say, of hope, right? That somehow, because this is noble, because this is pure, because this is true, that we start to move through the world in a way that is a little bit less touched by the world. Right? I'm agreeing to do this, so I'm acting. I'm not being acted upon. Right? I'm becoming a spiritual protagonist. I know it sounds like I'm teasing, but I'm talking to myself too. The Bodhisattva moves freely in the world, but not because the Bodhisattva isn't holding anything, but because the Bodhisattva isn't desperately trying to put things down. The Bodhisattva holds this weight, the weight of her actions and the weight of everyone's actions, with respect, with the kind of solemn respect with which you would hold the dead, with the care with which you would hold someone who is hurt. You hold your karma in that way. Not trying to elevate it and not trying to drop it, but agreeing that it will always be this way. That this will always be your burden. And because of that, you move unencumbered. Because there's no gap. There's no separation and there's no fight. There's a receptivity to all of it, but what comes to mind for me is the sadness of it. We say that Avalokiteshvara hears the cries of the world. And I think sometimes we imagine because she's so regal and she's so clean that she hears them but somehow doesn't feel them. That she responds without the sadness. But I have a doubt about that. All of this goes for all the precepts. It's not just about not killing. But maybe in not killing, we see most clearly the messiness of it. For all of us, but particularly for those of you who are kind of stepping into this process, I invite you to let go today of the idea of being clean, or the idea of being new. And instead, see yourself as someone who is stained by everything. Everything you've ever done and everything you ever will do. And just agree to that. So that you can take a step forward. I'll stop there.
For more information about Zen, our practice, and how you can support and take part in our community, please visit zennovascotia.com.